beautiful song that we just sang. And we want to talk about this song. Our lesson tonight is based upon that phrase, "I am coming, Lord." We want to, first of all, think about this first verse of that song. "I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed from Calvary." Amazing, beautiful words. They're applicable to the saint and the sinner. And we want to be able to kind of dig into these words and hear the message behind this wonderful, wonderful song. In fact, the song, when we think about that first verse, it reminds us that God calls us through the gospel. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 14, "He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." That idea that God is calling every soul. And as we dig further into this song, we'll realize that He's not just calling the saints. He's calling the sinner. In Mark 16 and verse 16 and or 15 and 16, we understand that calling because Jesus commanded them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. You know, in our lesson this morning, we talked about the creature that displeases God. And that's someone who's wrapped up in their own twisted way of thinking. And they worship God not the way they worship the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. But that Creator, even though there are those upon the earth who will not worship Him properly and who will turn their backs on Him and continue to walk in sin, He's calling. He's calling. "I hear thy welcome voice." And each one of us needs to listen for that voice. His word is powerful. Paul said in Romans 16, 1 and 16 that he's not ashamed of the gospel. Because why? That gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And he's calling. He's calling. The gospel is the good news, is it not? And we should be excited about that. It's the good news for us who are already believers, baptized, immersed into Christ. It's good news because it never grows old. You know that song, right? It's that old story. And that good news, when you look at Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 through 25, we read about how the birth of Christ came about, how that angel of the Lord came to Mary in the night and told her she was going to give birth to the Son of God. Came to Joseph, who was ready to put her away, and said, "Joseph, the son of David, don't put that woman away. She's going to bear a son, and you're going to call that son Emmanuel. God with us." Good news. God's coming down from glory through a virgin named Mary to be with us. And He had a voice. And He wants you to hear that voice. And when He came down, John chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us that Son of God, He became flesh. And He walked among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten Son of God. And He had a voice. And His voice is calling you right now. His voice is saying, "Come." And that's just part of the gospel. Because we read about His love In First John chapter 4 and verse 17, we're told that His love had been perfected among us. His love was perfected among us. Why? So that we can have boldness. We need to have that kind of boldness because we know that God is on our side. And I'm coming, Lord, should be our response to that kind of a gospel. He is the Emmanuel. He's the God with us. And He died for us. And the gospel doesn't stop there. And this is the remarkable, amazing part of the gospel. Not just that He was born of a virgin. Not just that He walked among us. Not just that He healed the blind, the lame, and the sick. That He raised the dead. But that He can raise you. And He proved it. Because He's a risen Savior. He's risen. We think that. The gospel calls us to a great benefit. The power of that gospel. And He's risen. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 9 is a verse that every one of us should memorize. For this is the end. Christ died and arose and lived again. He died and He arose and He lived again. Why? That He might be Lord of both the living and the dead. His love, the gospel, His word reaches far back into the history and annals of creation all the way to your heart right now. And it reaches on into the future long after any of us have died and gone on. And He's calling. What should your response be? I am coming, Lord. Isn't that what you do when somebody calls your name? I'm coming. I'm coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When you look at that, verses 1 through 3. The risen Christ is the reality of our faith. We've talked before, and if you've been here in the past and you've been in the congregation and you've heard the gospel being preached, you know that the Christ is a provable living fact. It's provable by just looking at the examples and the historical accounts in the Scripture. How those disciples were so afraid of the men who crucified the Lord. But when they saw the risen Savior, they stepped out in front of those same very men and they preached this gospel. And some of them heard. 3,000 the first day. And they said, I'm coming, Lord. That's what our response should be. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach to you, which I also received, and in which you stand. I'm coming, Lord. He says, and also which you are saved. I'm coming, Lord. We need to hold fast to that word which we have in our possession today. And we need to listen to that word, knowing that faith only comes by hearing the gospel. And we need to respond to that word by saying, I'm coming, Lord. What in the world would ever hold us back? I delivered unto you, first of all, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, according to that message. But the good news is in Him we have redemption. His blood gives us the forgiveness of sins and the riches of His grace. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. That's an amazing first verse, isn't it? I hear Thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to Thee for cleansing in Thy precious blood that flowed from Calvary. I'm coming, Lord. You know, have you heard that voice of the Lord? You're not going to hear Him speak to you audibly. Let's not be mistaken. We're going to hear Him speak through His Word. The Lord said to the God, the Father in heaven, in His prayer, before He left this earth, He said, "Sanctify them by Your Word. Thy Word is truth." And that's what cleanses us. That's how we come to the knowledge. And if you've heard that Word, then your response should be, "I'm coming, Lord." There's no reason not to. There's no reasonable reason not to. Stubbornness, hard-heartedness, that's not reasonable. "I'm coming, Lord." The second verse, the words of the song, "Though coming weak and vile, Thou dost my strength assure. Thou dost my vileness fully cleanse, till spotless all am pure." Think about this second verse. You know, it reminds us or teaches us or tells us that we can all come to Jesus vile, sinners, reprobates, liars, fornicators, homosexual, adulterers. We can all come to Jesus and say, "I'm coming, Lord." And when we do that and we're ready to repent and to come to Him, it doesn't matter how we are then. It matters how we will be after. In Luke chapter 5, in verse 27, we meet Jesus coming to a tax collector named Matthew or Levi. Think about it. Look at that in your Bibles, that scripture, Luke, chapter 5, and verse 27 through verse 32. And what you see there is that Jesus meets this tax collector, Levi, and Levi's sitting in the tax office. Now, listen and understand that Levi is considered a reprobate. He's considered a terrible man. Levi, the tax collector. The tax collectors were not normally honest people. The tax collectors were people that everybody looked down upon. They stole money from them. They were never considered good in the eyes of man. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." You hear that small voice? "Remember, I hear thy welcome voice." Jesus said, "Follow me." He's saying that to you right now tonight. Whether you're saved or not, follow me. And so Levi, he left everything and he rose up and he followed Jesus. Interestingly, we see that a little bit later, Levi, he gives this big, great feast. And in that feast was a great number of tax collectors and others. They sat down with them. Listen, a great number of tax collectors and others. That means this house, this place, was just filled with sinners. It's a place that you think, "I don't want to be there." And you know what? That's right where Jesus was. Think about that. But the scribes and the Pharisees, I don't think they were in there. They were outside looking upon this. And they came to the disciples of Jesus. And they said to the they were complaining. "Why do you eat and drink with such tax collectors and sinners?" You know, they came to the disciples. You've got to ask yourself, why did they go to the disciples? Why didn't they just go to Jesus? And I can tell you why. Because every time they confronted Jesus, he just came right back at them. And they always lose the argument. You can't argue with God. What do you think it is when God is saying, "Come"? And you just say no. You can't argue with God because He's always going to win the argument. But here they are, they're asking, they're telling the disciples, oh man, this is ridiculous. What are you doing eating and drinking with these tax collectors and sinners? But Jesus answered. Even though they weren't talking to Jesus, Jesus answered. And Jesus said, listen, those who are well, they don't need a physician. But those who are sick. He says, I've not come to the righteous, I've come to the sinners to repent. He's come to sinners, to repentance. Are you a sinner? I hope you have the guts to say yes. I really do. Because I'm a sinner. And I've never met anybody that wasn't. Short of a little child. We're all sinners. We're all publicans and tax collectors. And Jesus is saying, come. The wise would say, I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming. Jesus, in Luke chapter 19, and in verse 10, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. In this verse, we see about the blessings of Christ. It's described two ways, strength and cleansing. In John 8, in verse 34 through 36, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Are you a sinner? Because if you are, you're a slave to sin. But wait a minute, Mr. Preacher, didn't you just say you were a sinner? I certainly did. But I answered the call. Now, do I live in sin? No. There's a difference between a sinner and one who is sinning. The verb versus the noun. I'm a noun. I'm not a verb. I don't spend every day sinning. I don't desire sin. I hate sin because of the blood of Christ, because of what Christ did for me. So I'm not going to spend my days sinning. Can I still sin? Absolutely. And when I do, it breaks my heart because I know that every sin is against God. Every sin is against Christ. Every sin is what He died on that cross for. And so I seek and diligently fight to walk in the Spirit. Because the Scripture in John goes on, it doesn't just say you're a slave to sin. Because we have a brother in the kingdom. We have a son in the kingdom called Jesus. And Jesus, the Son, makes us free, and we shall be free indeed. His grace empowers us. His grace enables us. I'm coming, Lord. There's great benefit in coming. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Him, through Christ who strengthens me. That's not just words. That is a promise. That is the Apostle Paul telling you that he's able to do all things through Christ who gives him strength. And by proxy, we also, through the blood of Christ, can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And one of the things is to come to the Lord. Morning, noon, and night. We don't want to bypass the power of God. In Romans chapter 8, in verses 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, He enables us. He gives us that amazing strength and that amazing power to live according to His will. We live by the Spirit. We put to death the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the body. And when we do that, we will live. And when we talk about live, we're talking about Zoe, aeonion, life eternal. We're not talking about the back pains and the crying and the tears and the pain and the sorrow and the suffering and the dying. We're talking about eternal life. Live. Never die. Spiritually. Listen, don't assume that you have to be righteous to come to the Lord. You don't. We can all be Matthews, Levi's, tax collectors, publicans, sinners, but we can all come to the Lord. Levi came to the Lord. When Jesus said, come, He says, I'm coming, Lord. No questions asked. Let's look at the third verse. The third verse. 'Tis Jesus calls me on to perfect faith and love, to perfect hope and peace and trust for earth and heaven above. The third verse describes the person who has come to the Lord. Someone who's answered that tender and welcome voice. Our growth in Christ is evident. It's something that's perpetual. It's something that must be. Peter wrote, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a command, folks. In other words, don't be stagnant. Don't stay where you are spiritually. Don't continue to drink the milk, but get into that deepness of the Word. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 with me. Well, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Peter writes, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Listen to me. Peter's not talking to the sinner right now. He's talking to the church. He's telling us, who have said, I'm coming, Lord, and did come, and were immersed, and were cleansed of our sins, came in contact with that blood, and have been reborn. And he's saying, listen, add. Don't be short-sighted. Don't forget that you were cleansed from your old sins. Therefore, verse 10, brethren, you see that? That's the church. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see the promise? You see the power and the growth? When you come to the Lord, there's nothing that you can't do. There's nothing that will ever hold you back. Your election is sure. You will not stumble in the Lord. And an entrance will be supplied abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. We need to do these things. We need to do these things. You know, we're not only responding to His grace through conversion, but we also have to bear fruit. This song, you know, it reminds us how important it is that He's coming to us. We're weak and vile. But now, perfect faith and love to perfect hope and peace and trust. You see, we have to grow. And then we have to become fruit bearers. Matthew 28:18-19, or 19-20, they remind us again, we've heard it so many times, we go out, we do the work, and then we teach other people to do the work. We teach people to become disciples of Christ. In John chapter 15 and verse 8, Jesus says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Then you're my disciples, bearing fruit for the Lord." How glorious is it to know that our service here on earth will continue on into heaven, into eternity. Let's turn to Revelation. Revelation, put it on the screen there. Revelation chapter 2. We'll read a little bit of Revelation here. 25-27. Chapter 2, 25-27. "Behold, fast what you have till I come, and he who overcomes and keeps my word until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed into pieces like the potter's vessel. I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." You see that? Going off into eternity after saying, "I'm coming, Lord," and after responding to His invitation, after being baptized into Him, does not stop on this earth. But the ramification is that it continues on into eternity. And the opposite of that, when you say, "No, Lord, I'm not coming," is eternal damnation in hell, separated from everyone that you've ever known and loved who did obey the gospel. Make no mistake, we need to say, "I'm coming, Lord." Look at Revelation chapter 3, just a few verses over there. Chapter 3 and verse 20-22. "Behold," Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice," there he is, calling. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Listen to that text. "He who overcomes, as I also have overcome." And when you overcome, when you say, "Yes, I'm coming, Lord," and you overcome because you've obeyed Him, and He washes you of your sins and adds you to that eternal church, His body. And listen, your overcoming is nothing compared to what He had to overcome. He had to endure the cross. He had to endure the spitting and the gnashing and the hitting and the nails and the bloodiness and the whipping and the scourging and the... He had to endure so much more. He overcame. And now He just says, "Come. Come." And you can overcome just by saying, "Yes, Lord. Yes, I'm coming, Lord." One more Revelation verse. Chapter 22. In verses 1-5. And John says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street of its street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives light to them, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's a glimpse of what happens when you say, I'm coming, Lord. We'll be in heaven. And that river of water of life will flow from the throne of God. The light that comes from the throne of God will light everything. There's not going to be any night. His name will be written upon your forehead. You'll see him face to face. And reign forever and ever. And all you have to do is say, I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming. When you hear that call, that invitation, I'm coming. Let's look at the last of the text here in this song, the chorus. I'm coming, Lord. Coming now to thee, wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. I'm coming, Lord, coming now to thee, wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed from Calvary. You know what Calvary is, right? We mentioned it a minute ago. That's that cross, or that tree, or that cross where he was crucified, and when he had died, to make sure he was dead, they took a spear and stabbed him in the side, opened him up, and water and blood flowed forth. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed from Calvary. The chorus here expresses an argument or an appeal for the cleansing that one desires when they respond to the gospel. I mean, that's the whole purpose of saying, yes, I'm coming, Lord, because I want to be cleansed. I know I'm a sinner. Any fool can tell me that. You don't need to tell me I'm a sinner. I've cussed, I've lied, I've cheated, I've stolen. I've committed adultery in my mind or in life, fornication, whatever it is. There's nobody that hasn't sinned. And Jesus isn't saying, you know, I'm going to perfect you and you're going to be like me on the earth. He's saying, I love you, and all you got to do is say, yes, I'm coming. And you come to him and he will wash your sins away and put you on a road of sanctification, on a road of perfection. But you'll never reach that perfection until the day he comes and takes us all away from the sinful world, destroys everything in this world and all the sinfulness of it, and the demons and the devils will be cast into the lake of fire along with all that sinfulness. And it's a struggle. Jesus describes the way to heaven as a very narrow and difficult path. This is all you've got to do is answer. I said, come, you come. I'm coming, Lord. He will help you navigate through that path. Remember Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. That's Jesus now. He leads me in the ways of righteousness and down the paths of rest. Through the valleys of the shadow of death, and he prepares that table. And then we don't have to worry about our enemies. He's the power and the glory And all we do is follow where He says, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. You know, the cleansing comes as one is baptized into Christ. For in baptism, we're buried with Him together. Let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 3. We're going to read chapter 6, rather, verses 3 through 8. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? That's where the blood was shed. That spear stabbed His side after death, and the water and the blood poured out. We're buried with Him in baptism into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we will also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer live or be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him again. And all we have to do is say, I'm coming, Lord. Our sins washed away. Acts 22 and 16. The question that they asked Paul, same question that I asked you tonight. Why are you waiting? The Lord is calling. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me to thee. That cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed from Calvary. I hear that. That's what the gospel call is all about. Just to come to Him and accept Him on His terms. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. Be added to the body of Christ. Become a new creation. Have your sins washed away. Be empowered by the precious Word of God in this life to change and be transformed. To become a child of God. His blood is powerful. It's powerful enough to wash your sins away. It's powerful enough to wash the sins of the prophets who were before us away. It's powerful enough to do all according to the law of the Lord. Past, present, future. There's nothing as powerful as the blood of Christ. Not an atom bomb. Not the mighty military force. There's nothing that can overcome the power of the blood of Christ. And the question again is, why are you waiting? What's the reason? Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, says there also is an antitype to the water that lifted that boat up in the days of Noah, and 8 souls were saved. It's called baptism. That saves us. It's not the baptism, it's not the water, but it's coming in contact with the blood by obedience and faith to the commandments of the Lord. In other words, it's not a removal of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, have you heard the welcome voice of the Lord? I hope you have. You have heard it. You need to accept that gospel. He's calling you right now. And I pray that you desire the cleansing of the blood that flowed from Calvary and that you'll continue after that, to be faithful until death, Revelation 2 and 10, so that you receive that crown of life, so that you're up there with that living water, that life-giving water that flows from the throne of grace. That you'll be present evermore with all the saints who have gone before us and eventually one day being delivered up to the kingdom, in the kingdom, up to the Lord and to the Father Himself, the Creator of all things. Come to the Lord. Faith and baptism. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36 and following, we realize that our sins are what put Christ on that cross. That's why He died. And we must respond with the question, what must I do? And with the answer, I'm coming, Lord. When you hear the answer, I'm coming, Lord, is what you should say. What was the answer to what must we do? Repent and be baptized. You're a sinner. You need to repent. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. That was the answer. What is your answer? Because if you answer appropriately, you'll receive Christ into your life. You'll be putting Him on in baptism. For as many of us have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. And at that point, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither male or free, male or female or bond free, slave or free. There isn't any divisions because we're all one in Christ. And He loves everyone. The Scripture says, by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For by grace you are saved, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. You know, you can accept the Lord and you too can walk and do the works that He's called you to do. You can be empowered. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You've heard the message. You've heard the invitation. I hope and pray you have the courage just to come forward. There's no other answer to the call of the Lord other than, I'm coming, Lord. Will you come tonight? Saint or sinner, if you have something wrong in your life, tonight's the time to deal with it. The invitation is here. If you come forward tonight while we stand and as we sing.